This is Bob, Graz, and Tom.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio and streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Final hour of Bob, Graz, and Tom. Pete Carroll will be stepping up to the podium out at Seahawks headquarters in any moment. As soon as he does, we'll send you out there.
He will have met with the media like three times in less than 24 hours, right? Because he did it after the game yesterday. He met with Brockensock this morning, and then it'll be these guys all since like...
Yeah, and then I think Brockensock are talking to him on Friday.
Right.
So they're getting a double dose of Pete. There's a lot of Pete this week.
Yeah, I guess he's walking in right now. But I hope we're not talking about two losses this week. That's my only wish. I want at least one.
No. No, this is one, when you looked at the five, that I counted as a win. I looked at Detroit.
The one coming up.
Yeah. I actually looked at Detroit, San Diego. I thought they'd get at home. And then this one.
Yeah, they may end up 2-3 as opposed to 3-2. But you know what? At 4-5, I mean, they're in it by the skin of their teeth right now. I really think they got to win this game, though.
Well, they have to.
By the way, did you hear Pete Carroll cursing this morning? Maybe after his press conference, I can pull it up.
Maybe he'll curse in this press conference.
Yeah, he's like foul-mouthed Pete lately. At the very, very end of Brockensock this morning.
Good.
He was talking about Aaron Rodgers, and he dropped an F-bomb.
Did he really?
Yes.
He's not the man I thought he was. How dare he use foul language? No, I didn't catch that, but all right. That's how most people tend to talk anyway. So
yeah, it's fine.
You got a dose of reality there. I know how you shudder at that stuff. Let's send it out there now and see if he drops any F-bombs.
This is a very busy week as we get ready for a Thursday night game. So I know we'll spend some time on the game yesterday, but we're moving on and have to get rolling to get everything in order. We had really two games. If you look at the two games against the Rams, they're pretty similar in that both teams scored pretty well. Hard-fought game, chances to do things at the end. And they came out on top, and they're a really good club. We felt pretty comfortable matching up and playing with them, and whether it was here or there. But you got to hand it to them. They found their way to win, did a nice job in doing so. It was clear that we were really running the football and able to do what we wanted to do in that regard. And it kind of gave us a feeling about the game and a way to play it. And it was our best outing on the ground with Russell's contribution. We put up a bunch of yards. But it was a continuation of the things we're trying to do. It just, unfortunately, it wasn't enough for a win. So it's disappointing to get your division leader. And we had two chances, and we didn't knock them off when we had our opportunities. So we're frustrated by that. I think a couple bright spots that were new to us to see Rashad get his chance and really do something with it, and he really jumped out, did a really nice job in the game. It was great for him, for his confidence and all of that, and great to just see him have some fun playing football. Likewise with Jordan, up front, he did a really nice job. Simmons came through and came through against tremendous competition, and when we needed him to step in there and play some football, he was tough and handled his assignments pretty well, and had always some miscues, but basically did a really good job against really good guys. So that was really good for our depth and exciting for him too. And that he has not played a lot of football in his career, so he was really pumped up about doing it and at the Coliseum for himself. It was pretty good. We kicked the ball really well. Michael had a great game punting the football. Unfortunately, we had the onside kick thing that didn't work out right. That did not go at all like we had planned, obviously. But we were going for it, and we thought it was an opportunity to try to make a play and make something special happen. Unfortunately, we didn't execute like we need to. Thought Russell had an interesting game. That he was really active running with the football, scrambles, and also in the design runs, he did a really nice job in contributing. And that's when he does that, it really makes a difference and makes it hard on the defense and allowed Michael Davis to have a good game and Penny. So guys up front came through again, did a nice job to make that all happen. But so it was some good, really good positive stuff. We know that we can go run football when we need to, and we're gonna keep working with it. Defensively, we give up too many plays, particularly early. It took us a while to zero in on what we needed to do to stop the running game. I really thought that was the key. And And they did a nice job again. They continued to just keep rolling on offense, and we weren't able to slow them down enough.
What did you like about Rashad's game when you went back and watched it?
That he was explosive, read the line of scrimmage really well, and four or five different runs, you know, and saw things really clearly. Showed good speed on the edge, you know, good burst, scored easily, you know, and I haven't seen many of those. That was really nice. It was just great to see him play football and contribute. This is the guy we've been watching and we saw in camp and all of that, and just haven't had enough good looks at up to this point. But he was ready for it. He's been working hard, and we've been pushing him, and it was great to see him come through.
You said you had really been on him. You had kept on him. What exactly did you mean there?
Just to continue to push in all areas to you know, tax himself. In just all aspects of it, you know, balls come really easy to him in his career, and you know, he showed such a fantastic senior year and all of that, and he just needed to just keep working, you know, and just that meant the way he practiced and taking advantage of every rep and watching, you know, how he eats and how he takes care of himself, how he works in the off season in the off field program, just everything, just helping him grow. And he's got a great attitude about it. He's been wonderful to work with and all that. But we're just showing him the way. And he benefited from it.
Second straight week, the run defense hasn't been good in the first half. What have you seen? There's a common denominator as to why?
I don't know that it's a common denominator. We just got to play better and not allow the big plays to happen. You know, it's just consistency. It's really, that's the common denominator, the consistency at the line of scrimmage.
Several running backs be productive for you this year based on what you saw from Rashad yesterday. Is it safe to say he's earned a role for this team going forward?
Yeah, you know, but when everybody's healthy, not everybody's going to get the ball a lot, you know. That's just the way it goes, and so we'll figure that out, and you know, you'll see how it comes together in the weekend. Chris is going to be healthy this week, and he'll be excited to get back out there too. So it's a good group, it's a good problem. It's not a great problem for the running backs, but it's good for us, and we'll try to make the most of it.
Is J.D. McKissic practicing this week?
Not yet. But he's getting close. We think we'll use this long week here and get us from the next time out. We'll be ready to go with him.
These close losses that you've been having, while obviously frustrating, do they leave you feeling like you're on the verge of kind of breaking through to the other side?
Yeah, I don't feel anything but the positive part of where we can go and what we can do, you know, and it's just unfortunate that we haven't, you know, triggered the right play at the right time at the end, and they've been really one or two plays here to finish the game off where we come back and put the points up or stop them one more time, and it is frustrating, but it is also very encouraging that we're so clearly on track with the style that we're trying to play with, and so we just have to turn those into wins.
What's the best Deion Jordan's played this year? It seems like he's pretty active.
Yeah, he played really tough. I don't know if you caught the pursuit plays that he had. A couple of plays, he was flying across the field and giving great effort to you know, just chase the ball. And he's played really solid. He always plays tough. I think this game showed him a couple of times when he got to run across the field and chase. You could see the athleticism and his mentality. He's been a really good contributor.
In your last nine games that you've played within one score, you've only managed to win one of those games going back over the last year. So those tight games, they haven't quite gone your way. Is there anything when you look at the
it's finishing. It's finishing, you know, at the right time, you know, making the right play. We've been so good at those games for such a long time. The fact that it's not happening is a little bit unusual, and I'm disappointed because we've been able to always feel like we're going to win those games and do it. And we still have the same mentality about it and attitude about it, but we got to show it. We got to get those finishes done.
You talked a little this morning about the problems with the crossing routes over the middle, a gap between front guys and the back. Is that a function of having inexperienced guys, less experienced guys in the secondary?
It would be a combination of things. It's not that easy, you know, just experience. What I was talking about is, you know, they do run a lot of crossing routes, and we were playing man to man. We mixed some zones, and they got a couple in each. You know, they hit us in both ends of our coverage stuff. But there was a couple big significant plays. The 3rd and 15 play was really a poorly played play, and that was just. We got caught up cheating on the coverage. You know, guys looking at the wrong stuff and getting caught up. But it's an area that we have to continue to work at. And inexperience, sometimes it does play into, you know, a guy in third and 15 doesn't realize I don't want to bite on the route underneath me. I got to stay deep and, you know, and be a little more poised about it. That's certainly showed up, and that's always a problem. But I don't think it's the only problem.
In that coverage on that play, is that just you're not going to cover that? Just leave it and then make the tackle afterwards. The curl route in front. Just let them take that dump off.
And there's a different way of looking at it than what you're expressing there. The linebackers in underneath coverage should be deep enough to discourage that throw, so they should dump the ball under them, not underneath the DBs, the safeties on the deep end. There's a whole other level we should have been, you know, protecting to make them force the ball way underneath that. No, we were not trying to bait them into the 20-yard completion.
I think you were.
How's KJ, right?
KG wasn't able to finish the game, and we'll let you know in the next couple of days. If we were practicing today, he couldn't practice, so we'll let you know.
What about DJ Fluker?
The projection is that DJ will play in this game. We didn't know if he'd be able to get through that last game with the hopes of making a full showing this week, so we're counting on him. He should be out there on the field working with us today and all that.
Bradley McDougal. You said he was fine, but is he?
He had a really good showing in the game, and physically he came out of it much better than he was the last couple of weeks, and so we're very encouraged that he's going to be okay for this weekend and he might turn the corner a little bit in his rehab.
How did Delano do in the role that he had filling in?
He got banged up in the game, didn't get a chance to play as much as we had hoped he would. But he did fine in his opportunities that he had. It was pretty limited though.
Pete, over the past 5 years, you guys have been pretty good in these Thursday night games on the short week. How have you sort of honed your plan for that? Will you do any more or less this week on the field than you normally do?
No, we're going to pretty much stick with the way we've done it. And we have our way. Today's a really big day for us because we have to put this game to rest and then get on to the next one. And we'll be on, you know, in walkthrough mode today, you know, to try to get started in the introduction of the opponent and all. Yeah, we've had a good way of going about it. We're going to stick with the way we've done that, which is really have to work. You're working on a big recovery mode while you're trying to get ready for the game. So that's really the tip of our concerns right now is to get the guys back so that they're ready to go. So we'll work that out.
Was the strip sack just sort of a good play by them, or?
It's a really good rush. Really good rush. It was a little bit of push. Rush couldn't just quite step up underneath. He just needed to just sneak up underneath him, but about a half a foot, he had been pushed by. So really nice rush, though. Dwayne had the guy and shoved him by, but he got a chance to reach in and just got a hand on the ball. It was a big play. Obviously, that was a big play in the game.
How do you feel Doug Baldwin's at this point in the season, coming back from the knee issues early on? Had the big game yet?
He hasn't had the big game yet, but he's been very consistent, and he's doing the stuff that, you know, that's coming his way. He's working hard, feels good, came out of the game okay again. I mean, each week it's been, of the last 3 weeks or so, it's been, you know, a little tentative, you know, in coming out of the games. Is he going to recover from it? I think he came out really well on this one. I think he's on the verge of busting out because he's working hard and doing everything right, and the ball just hasn't gone that way. There have been fewer throws in the way we've been playing, so not as many opportunities as the last couple of years.
Looking ahead already to Green Bay, what have you seen from them this season so far?
Well, they've had some ups and downs. You know, they played very well at home, and they've had troubles on the road. Aaron's been, you know, banged around a little bit, you know, and he's had to work through that. They're mixing the running game more than they have in the past. Aaron Jones is doing a nice job carrying the football. He's averaging almost 7 yards a carry, so that's really a problem that we're concerned about. That balance makes it harder to take, you know, take your plan to stop an Aaron Rodgers. And so, I know they're frustrated too. You know, they've dropped a couple games that they should have won, and I'm sure their outlook. And so we're kind of in a similar boat right here. And the tie game, I'm sure, was frustrating too. You know, and all that. So, but we know that they have great leadership, and they've got a great coach, and their staff is, you know, they've been a winning program for a really long time. And we don't think of them as anything other than that. And so, I mean, it happens to be the Packers and the Seahawks. It's a big deal. You know, we've had some great matchups in the past, and so we got to play good football.
Defensively, do they look any different now with Mike Pettine as opposed to all the years with Don Capers and what they did before?
Yeah, they look a little bit different. There's some different things that they're doing, a little different style. Because Clay's out there and the way he's been played, and Nick Perry, who might be banged up a little bit, but those guys have kind of been guys off the edge that have been really featured, and they still wind up looking like that. So you see some similarities. They haven't gone from 3-4 to 4-3 or something like that. But Mike's got his own style and some, you know, different numbers and tendencies and things like that we see.
You guys held Gurley to 72 yards in the first meeting. Was there anything different about how they used him?
No. It was a little bit of difference in how we did it, and they took advantage of it. You know, we were hoping that we would be able to hold him down again a little bit in the fashion we went after him, and we had to go back to the stuff we had done in the game, the first game, to get that done.
When you decide during a game, hey, we're going to go with this tailback on this series, how much of that is the game plan going into it or just based on what's happened in the game so far?
It's the game plan going into it for a while, and then we see how the game's going. And we've got some stuff that we want to see guys do and kind of in the plan as we anticipate, and then we adjust from there. And that depends on how fresh the guy is, the big runs he had and all that. You know, there's other factors that weigh into that. But we're trying to figure it out, and it takes a while before you can really tell if which way you want to go. I mean, it was obvious that Rashad got off to a great start, and we want, and there was a little portion there we just need to get him back in kind of the routine of it. But we ran the ball very effectively, and I wish CJ could have run the ball in this game too. We didn't get enough opportunities for him to do it. You know, we have to run it 45 times or something to get that done, but. We like all of our guys. They're all willing players, competitive, versatile, and they all can make things happen. We've already shown you that the guys can all run for 100 yards, there's a good consistency there. So, it's a good problem.
You mentioned Russell and kind of his impact on that too, and when he runs like he did yesterday. Were they just sort of allowing or kind of not covering Russell as much and was allowing some of that?
No, we did. There's opportunities to read the option, whether he's giving the ball or keeping it. And he read it out and saw his opportunities and took advantage of it. And some games it doesn't happen where the opponent won't let the quarterback run. And so we're okay about that. But he did it very, very skillfully in this game. He averaged 9 yards a pop or something, And the scrambles were well done also. But in that phase of it, that really helps our running game when we get a chance to make them have to stop him. He had a couple bootlegs that he kept and put on the corner too, which was good. So all of that just adds to the dynamics of the run game and helps us in a lot of ways.
Tyler Lockett's at a career high in touchdown receptions, and the one yesterday and a few of the others have been kind of that contested one-on-one. Just for a guy his size, what allows him to win those battles?
It has been obvious in this season that he has been more successful in contested plays, and he's just come through making his plays to the point where he's doing a fantastic job. It was a great catch yesterday, but he's been doing that all season long. I mean, what allows him to do it, he's a fantastic athlete. He's got great timing and confidence and he's in everything he does, he's a playmaker. I mean, look at the reverse that he ran, and all the stuff he did to take care of that run. It just shows his versatility. He's just a fantastic ball player. I mean, being a returner and all that stuff, that all comes into play. He's got great instincts and he's got good hops too, and all of that. The timing probably is the key though, knowing when to and how to. He's got that.
What are your options there if you can, KJ? Can you go to Shaquem or back to
Wait and see. We're working on that. We'll let you know when we get there.
Coach, with this team facing three elite quarterbacks in the last few weeks, how does it prepare this relatively young defense for another great quarterback like Aaron Rodgers coming in?
Yeah, I mean, it just keeps coming. And next week's another one, and it's just the way it goes, This is the real gauntlet of the NFL quarterbacks, and it's great for these guys. A lot of our guys have watched Aaron since they were, in grade school and high school and stuff like that, so to have a chance to play against him, it's It's important to them, and to see that they can survive it and play well, that's a tremendous accomplishment that adds to the confidence, particularly of the young guys. Tedrick and Trey, those guys, and Delano gets out there too. You know, it's a big deal, those guys, and they're going to go out there and play like they're the other guys they've played against, but they'll also recognize who they've been up against and when the game's over, and it'll be valuable to them.
And then, sorry, one more. Obviously, short weeks are never fun, but having the advantage of being here at home at CenturyLink, any advantage of that?
Yeah, there is an advantage. The short week is hard enough as it is, but these guys are going to probably travel on Tuesday night. I think the Packers, so they're on the road so soon. That's their day off generally. It's a big challenge. There's the good side of it is you get the bigger break on the weekend, and we all benefit from that. But it does help us to be at home, ready to get in there and get mixing up with the 12s, and it'll be fun Thursday night.
You think there's still time to accomplish your goals there?
Well, I don't think it. I know it. What happened in 2015? I think we're right about right here, and put on a good little run. And I don't know that I can't remember right now in 2015 if we felt as clear about our way of doing it as we do now. So it gives us a great opportunity, but we got to go, and we have to take these 1 week at a time and start piling up some wins. I like our style, and I like our style in playoff mode. I'd like to get that opportunity. So we got a lot of ball to play here. There's a lot of games coming at us and a lot of opportunities at home. And I think we should have nothing but the thoughts that we should build on where we are right now and have a chance to keep going and get better. Hopefully we can stay healthy and give ourselves a chance to play with the same guys.
Anything else? Thank you.
Okay.
There you go, Pete Carroll with the media. We're going to come back, go over a few things that he had to say, maybe also hear a little bit from 60 Minutes last night.
Yeah, 60 Minutes. I actually skipped
with the Griffin brothers.
Yeah, I
skipped forgot it. All about it.
I think if they had won the game, I would have been more likely to sit there and watch it or DVR it or whatever, but yeah. I kind of needed to distance myself from football a little bit after that.
Well, luckily you get the Giants tonight, so bring you right back.
Are you kidding me?
Bring you right back.
What a nightmare for ESPN. Can you imagine sitting through that, which I'm going to, by the way?
the beauty of what happens these days is you've got so many fantasy players that they're going to watch anything. Because
Beckham,
more likely than not, you've got players on each team.
Who's starting Eli on their fantasy team?
I'd say probably some Giants fan somewhere in New Jersey.
I was going to say somebody who just hasn't checked their fantasy roster in 6 weeks.
Somebody who's got worse options behind. I don't know. Maybe they thought they were getting a steal. They thought, their O-line's going to be better. Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be a huge target. He's going to put up yards. He's going to look like the old Eli, and unfortunately it hasn't gone that way.
Or somebody who had Nathan Peterman as their backup.
That's exactly right. All right, we'll come back, react to a bit of what Pete had to say, and let you hear a little bit of the Griffin brothers on 60 Minutes last night with Bob Gross and Tom.
Bravo Golf Tango. Bravo Golf Tango. The line is in. It's time now for the eavesdrop.
All right, it is time for the eavesdrop here with Bob Gross and Tom. We take a listen to something somebody said somewhere about stuff.
Are we going to have an open space at any point this busy week to talk about what we just looked at online here?
I hope so.
A move that the Mariners in a million years you would not want them to make, but might actually work.
I'm just telling you, I'm looking at a picture of a baseball diamond, and somebody put underrated free agents at each position.
Yeah.
One of them I looked at and just got a cold chill.
Tread lightly.
Got a cold chill. We'll have to get to this at some point.
Maybe wait a minute, what?
Yeah, yeah. But it was tweeted out by MLB, if you want a little preview of that. Okay. But anyway, before we get into the sound of the Griffin brothers and their mother last night on 60 Minutes, reaction to what Pete had to say. First of all, the news sounds good on Fluker and Carson. Sounds like we expect to see them, McDougald as well. Doesn't sound good on KJ Wright, though.
No, they're not that confident. It's too soon for them to know at the moment. Little surprised by that, I guess.
Yeah, well, he said he didn't make it through the game, so that's not good.
Right.
Obviously.
But McDougal was in and out, too, and they said he'd be good to go.
Yeah, I don't know that KJ was on the pitch count going in the way that McDougal was, because they were shuttling Delano Hill in there fairly often. And McDougal, there were a couple of pursuits I saw where you're going, okay, he doesn't look right.
Right.
You know what I mean? He just he looked hampered. But it sounds like he came out of the game all right, and hopefully it'll be better on Thursday, and then everybody gets a long break before they head to Carolina.
Yeah, now I want these guys to be healthy, don't get me wrong. But I guess with what we saw from Penny and even Simmons, and it could just be matchups, you never know. I'm pretty confident going forward offensively against Green Bay or whoever else. I want Fluker back. Don't mistake what I'm saying. But the performance they put up against the Rams the other day, I would take that on Thursday for sure.
Sure. I would think that performance would be enough to beat the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, at home.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is, if he's not the best, he's in that conversation. He can do a lot on his own, but he doesn't have the cast that Jared Goff has on both sides of the ball.
Definitely not. There was one thing he said there at the very end where he was asked, do you think it's still possible for you to accomplish your goals, the goals that they had set out, I imagine, making the playoffs, et cetera. And he said, I don't think it, I know it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pointed to 2015 and he talked about how, I didn't remember that they were 4-5. I just looked it up here. They were 4-5 that year. Remember, they started off 0-2. They didn't have Cam Chancellor that year. But then they did actually rattle off 5 wins in a row, 6 out of 7, actually, to end the year. That was a team coming off 2 Super Bowl appearances. I don't know that we can count on that from this group. I think it would be unfair to ask them to rattle off that many to end the season. Because it doesn't feel like they're really...
Rattle off 6 of 7?
I mean, could they?
They absolutely could. Is it likely? No.
No.
No, but I think they've shown they've got the ability. It's not out of this world. Like, what are you talking about? You're nuts. You know, it'd be different if they were going out there and just getting hammered by the Rams and the Chargers beat the daylight. Like, they're just taking beatings and we're going, hey, they still got a shot.
Well, right, because some teams will do that. Right.
I mean, you're talking about team. You're going down to the wire with the elite team so far.
Right. Here's Pete, actually. Here's that quote.
Well, I don't think it. I know it, you know. What happened in 2015, you know? I think we're right about right here, you know, and put on a good little run. And I don't know that I can't remember right now in 2015 if we felt as clear about our way of doing it as we do now. So it gives us a great opportunity, but we got to go, and we have to take these one week at a time and start piling up some wins. And
did Pete get to where he is in life just because he's so positive? Is it my
Sure it's helped.
Is it my negativity that's holding me back? Is that the reason why I'm not head coach of the Seattle Seahawks?
That's exactly what kept you from being a head coach in the NFL.
My negativity.
That and lack of knowledge. But, you know, that's more your negativity.
I wouldn't have called for that onside kick, Bob.
No. You've got to take some risks.
I know more.
But his positivity is key, man. It's speak it into existence, I guess.
Yeah,
but,
well, you can't give up now, nor am I giving up.
No, nor should they.
But we're about a game away from having to.
NFC is open. Yeah. NFC is open, and you've got opportunity. You've still got the 49ers twice. You've got Arizona, and then the rest are tough games. You've got Green Bay, Carolina, and then mixed in between those other games that I just brought up are Minnesota and Kansas City.
Yep.
Both at home, though. And I know home field has not been the advantage it's been, but if you string together a couple of wins here, and then you get into those games, it's going to be a frenzied crowd.
I'd rather have that game here than in Kansas City. And a couple of teams lost yesterday, right? I mean, the Falcons are 4-5. Philadelphia lost. Dallas won. So now they're actually one ahead of the Eagles with a tiebreaker. But it's just as close as it was, essentially.
Yeah.
Carolina's kind of out in front of everybody right now. But
Seahawks can do something to alter that.
They can. But against Green Bay, it's not just about the record. You want the head-to-head against them.
Yep. So there's a little bit of what Pete Carroll had to say. Meanwhile, 60 Minutes last night featured the Griffin brothers and their mother, I guess, speaking on there. I didn't get a chance to watch it because I was sidetracked.
Yeah, but what were you doing anyway?
I had things going.
Drinking Zima, weren't you?
I was in the corner just, you know, just lobbing back and forth, drinking Zima, just going over the loss in my mind, what happened, what could they have done differently, just chugging Zima.
There's empty Zima bottles all over your house.
I'm just rocking back and forth, just muttering to myself. So a couple of cuts, though, that took place in this episode. Shaquem Griffin being asked, obviously, about, you know, what his hand and wouldn't it, you know, how different would life be if you had both. And he, obviously, since he's a little kid, has been with just one hand. Here's what he had to say.
I don't probably want to be that good.
Why?
I thought about it. I was like, if I had two hands, I don't think I'd be good as I am now. I think me having one hand maybe work even harder than, I mean, other people.
What do you mean by that?
I feel like if you only put 1 hour in, I probably need to put 1 hour and 30, or I need to put in 2 hours.
It's contributed to his work ethic.
Yeah, I have no way of understanding that, no frame of reference, but I think I hear what he's saying. I mean, he had to work so hard to overcome that.
Yeah.
That he actually became a better football player than a regular person would have been, because probably they didn't feel like they would have had to work as hard.
Yeah, and you know, it's some of it is proving it to yourself and to refining your skills to a point where you can overcome, you know, the lack of a hand on this arm, and some of it is proving to others. Right? Proving to coaches, proving to teammates that, you know what, you're not going to out-hustle me, and I'm going to show you I can make the same plays as that guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's been preparing for this essentially his entire life.
Yeah, and it's great to see him here. It is a great story, as much as people get uptight, some do, when you say he's not just a story. I understand that. But he's also somebody that inspires and gives hope to a lot of little kids, and that's the coolest part of his presence here so far.
Yeah, those commercials are cool.
Is seeing those commercials and seeing before games when you see a little kid out there that's got the same situation going on with them, and he's interacting with them, and just kind of the hope and promise he brings to people like that is awesome.
Yep.
How do you look at that and not feel great about it? His mother talking about how Shaquem answered questions when he was a little kid.
And then the kids were asked, well, what happened to your hand? Oh, my daddy and we went fishing and a shark jumped up and bit my hand off. So every time he would always make a joke out of it, and that's just growing up. But Shaquem wasn't okay with it. Shaquem didn't think it was something to be teased about. He didn't even like the fact that when Shaquem would joke about it. And Shaquem protects him right now. He's very protected.
Hmm. That's cool. Those two are so tight. I mean, it's cool to see them interact. It's cool to see them, you know, and obviously that stemmed from how he was as a little kid, being very protective.
I can understand both sides of that. If I were in Shaquem's spot as the brother, I don't think I would find that funny either. But at the same time, if you're in Shaquem's position, you kind of just make do with it. And if you're okay with making the jokes yourself.
Yeah, I guess you get through it.
Yeah. There's nothing that anybody can tell you to say you're wrong.
But it just speaks to the closeness that he was, you know, he was the protective brother. And their mother went on to talk about how they had made a pact that they would be going to college together.
And he was offered Florida State, Miami,
LSU,
Gator, top schools in the country. And Shaquem was like, look, man, go ahead. I'll be all right. And Kael said, no, we made a pact. We promised each other nothing would stop us. Nobody would interfere in what we want. And that's to be together.
It's pretty cool, man.
And to this moment, they still haven't been interfered with.
No.
I mean, maybe they've tried, but they've overcome it.
Yeah. I mean, they had that one year where they didn't play together. Shaquem was here and Shaquem was in college.
Man, it sure helps.
Now they're reunited again.
It sure helps that they're good guys.
They're great guys.
You know, I mean, the story is good on its own, even if they weren't, but they are really just a terrific pair.
They walk around that facility. They are what you see, right? Often we talk about, you know, fans have an impression of a player based on what is put out there publicly. And often that player is in control of what's put out there publicly. So they can sort of dictate their image to a certain extent. And behind the scenes, might be a different story. Oftentimes it is a different story, whether fans want to acknowledge that or not. With the Griffin brothers, they're exactly the same no matter where they're at.
That's it.
I mean, you see them on TV. You see them on the field. I've seen them just walking outside when we've been out there for training camp. When nobody's there, just walking past them. They're just walking at you, grinning ear to ear. Hey, how's it going? You know, I mean, they're just so pleasant. They always look like they're in just the best mood.
Plus, they were born on July 20th, like all greats, like me. You know?
That must be what it really comes down to.
I'm the one guy born on that day who wasn't, you know,
didn't have
an aptitude for football.
You're kind of the opposite of those two, walking around with... They're walking around grinning, just pleasant and happy. You're there.
I can't even dribble.
All right, we're going to come back and sum it all up next with Bob Gross and Tom.
You're listening to Bob Gross and Tom.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
It's time to sum it up with Bob Gross and Tom. The final word every day on the show of record at 2:45.
Can't let money get in the way, man.
Can't get in the way of love, Tom.
Although it often does. You know, when Pete was talking there, I started wondering, if they lose this game to the Packers, we'll have plenty of time to dissect it, and they're 4-6, and they have to run the table. They're not out of it, okay, but they could be. We haven't had a season where the Seahawks are out of the playoff race since, I don't think since I've been here. Even in 2011, I think they had an outside shot towards the end. And I started thinking about how many Mariners seasons we've been through where they've been out of it by about June. And do you think the fans will stick with them? Do you think they'll have the same enthusiasm?
If or they go it, through a drought right, like the Mariners?
I don't mean drought like 17 years. I just mean for 1 year, if you know about mid-season, you know what, it's just not going to happen. You think the fans will hang with us?
Yeah, because I think, listen, you got a championship, and then you went back the next year. I feel like you've got a grace period. It doesn't mean they won't be upset when they play poorly and when they lose. Of course, you're a fan. You're invested.
And they may lose and not play poorly.
Yeah, I mean, but I think there's some slack there. I don't think anybody's going, that's it. This team's always the same. Why should I bother tuning in?
Definitely not that. But
the Mariners, over that length of time, have earned that very quick reaction to typical. This is what they do. What is this? You're 18 now. They're going to be terrible. Why don't we make it a nice even 20? It's, you know what I mean?
Even when they win, they get that.
Yeah, there's cynicism. There's just sort of apathy at the same time. It's just a weird mix of just, of course, this is how it goes. They're bad, and they're always going to be mediocre to bad, and why should I expect different? Where the Seahawks have given you something to cling to and given you hope, and it's much easier to turn around a football team, by the way.
Oh, no doubt, and they're already on their way to that. I firmly believe that.
And by the way, look at the Saints, who are, if they're not the best team in the league, they're in that conversation.
Right.
They had a couple of really bad years. They won the Super Bowl in, what, 2009? Didn't they have back-to-back 7-9?
I think they had three in a row, actually.
Yeah, I mean, they look like, you know, their defense was the worst, one of the worst in history, I believe, with Rob Ryan there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this team looked shot. And you were hearing about, oh, should they even bother bringing back Breeze? Should they trade him? But I mean, this was pretty ugly looking. And now you look at him, you're going, you don't want any part of this team.
Well, they were a playoff team last year, but still, I mean, they did have those 3-7-9s in a row. And
was it three in a row?
Yeah, 2014, 15, and 16, actually. I don't think the fans will bail out. I think you guys are better than that. But you can't underestimate the attention span of anybody in 2018.
Or overestimate it?
You can't underestimate. You can't overestimate. Which is it?
Why are you implying that they'll turn their attention elsewhere?
Yes.
Yeah, so you can't overestimate their attention span and think that they're going to stay
right.
Tuned
I should in. Say don't underestimate.
Their lack of attention span.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've made that mistake a couple times on this show, haven't I? Or on Twitter, I think I did one day. You corrected me. Thank you very much. But look, sometimes if the team's bad, or not bad, but they're not in the hunt, you turn the other way. That's all I'm saying. I hope it doesn't happen this year. I don't think it will.
I don't think it will. I think they'll still express disappointment and, and they'll wring their hands over things. But in terms of saying, you know, why bother?
That's what we're here for, though. We're here for that discussion, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be okay. And just know, I think people understand in football how quickly things can turn for a bad organization. Or, and this is not a bad organization, but a team that's struggling.
Or a team that's just losing a little bit.
Unless you're the Browns or, you know, some of these teams that have just been run so poorly for year after year after year. This is not a team that's run poorly by any stretch. So,
hey, speaking of bad teams that beat good teams, we would have gone 5-0 on our picks if we had stuck with Tennessee.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was the one. That was the one we lost.
Yeah, but come on, man. How do you pick against the Patriots? They've just burned you too many times.
Gut feeling. Nothing else.
All right, there you go. That does it for us. Our thanks to Paul Moyer for joining us on the program. If you missed any of today's show, go to 710sports.com, click the podcast button, and then click on our picture, and everything you missed is waiting for you there each and every single day. We're going to be back with you tomorrow with the Huddle. Different schedule this week, Thursday Night Football, so the Huddle happens tomorrow live from Seahawks headquarters with Bob Gross and Tom. We'll talk to you then.